Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Woj, Adam Schefter and Woj, whether it's football with Schefter or Woj, they usually say something and it's gospel. What prompted him to even respond to Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, who was critical of the NBA's policy on what to put on the back of jerseys?
Well, I think I don't want to get too much into politics. I don't know enough about Senator Hawley really to speak to him, you know, his like tactics and whatever. But I think Woj's perspective was he was not like a good actor in the situation, and that the question was just sort of more trolling than a specific question. Though I think you could argue that, you know, the NBA and its involvement in China, and then the NBA's social activism, that you could question them and, you know, say, you know, well, how can the two things be hand in hand, where you're in business with China and, you know, some of the allegations against the Chinese government that have gone on. So I think for Woj, it was a question of frustration, which I've been told he regrets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my only knowledge of Senator Hawley is one of my students in my class worked for him in the Attorney General's office in Missouri. So that's my only knowledge about him, just conversation. So I'm with you. I really don't know. Other than that, obviously. This is out of character for Woj. He usually is just telling you, he doesn't really give his opinions a lot. So that's why I thought this was so strange about this, because if you were to ask him about moving to something benign, like the NBA three-point line to 25 feet, he'd explain the pros and cons on each side and wouldn't give his opinion.
It was a work email, but it was a private exchange, and I can't tell you exactly what he was thinking, but I think it was frustration and feeling that the question was cynical instead of someone was trying to get to the bottom of something.
How long is the suspension? We do know it's without pay. How long is it, Andrew?
2 weeks. I reported last night. ESPN hasn't acknowledged the suspension, so obviously Woj is not on the air, but so you should expect him back 2 weeks from Saturday. That's the 25th, which, if the NBA season goes on, that'd be 5 days right before the season starts. But it's going to be very noticeable. Woj, you know, for anybody who watches the NBA or is on Twitter or just any of ESPN's platforms, he's omnipresent, so he will not be doing any of those things the next 2 weeks.
Because this is just my personal opinion. When you invest $1.4 billion in what ESPN has done per year, I have felt like Woj has been one of those guys that's kept the presence of that investment in front of you 365 days a year. I think he's been critical of what they've done.
Yeah, I think they feel that way too. I think the NBA feels that way as well. And I don't think there's any real fracture in the relationship. Now, could things change? Yeah. But I think that if you look at it, you know, if it wasn't Woj, I think another person might have gotten fired. I mean, he did say an expletive you to a U.S. senator, which, again, regardless of what he thinks or anybody thinks of the senator, which, again, I don't know much about him that much until now. I've never heard of him before this, really.
Right.
It was still stupid. I mean, there's no other word to use than to say it was dumb, because even if you didn't like his email and you're frustrated, it's just like you could just delete it, ignore it, or you could say, yeah, no thank you, or you could even express like that you thought it was cynical and that he wasn't really trying to get the bomb or anything. There are just other ways to express yourself.
Yeah.
The two words that he used just aren't professional. He was using his ESPN email. I don't think Disney had much of a choice than that they had to do something there. You just can't say that's okay and move on. But like I said, if it wasn't Woj, the person might have been fired.
Will Woj be allowed, and I just mean this in general, it has nothing to do with this scenario, was he going to be allowed to be down in the bubble?
Yeah, he was scheduled to go this week, so he would have been down there. Now, when he comes back, from what I'm told, it's not a punishment, but he may or may not go. depending on which state, where they think he'll be more useful. Because the thing about the bubble is that the access to players is not really good, even for the media who are paying the $65,000 for the full freight. And ESPN, as a broadcast partner, you know, figures to have more access than others. But it's still not great. And, you know, Woj, like a lot of us, I mean, I think, you know, the reporting that you do that's really beneficial is usually on the phone. Not that meeting people in person is very important, you know, right, which we can't do right now much, if at all, during this pandemic. But that is important, and that can be more fruitful. But you can get a lot done now with the phone. And, you know, being in a closed environment in that bubble, it's not really, I don't think, advantageous, except for when he's on television. And there is a visual that's probably effective being there, and it feels very like you're an insider because you're inside where everything is going on. So they might choose to have him go down there, but I don't think that's definite. If he does go down there, he'll be very popular. The players seem to be very much united behind Woj, including LeBron James, who tweeted out free Woj.
Right, exactly. And you're right. I mean, it would be great for the optics, but you and I both know that Adam Schefter and Woj, they do great work, but their connections are with some management people. Agents are big in terms of their connection with the stories they break, players and so forth, and you can do that without actually physically being there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's talking to GMs a lot. You know, he has a lot of relationships. So, you know, he's doing it now and having stories throughout this whole pandemic where the game's been shut down. But I don't imagine that would change. Look, here's the thing, and you know this because of your other job. You know, people have talked about, and this is a little bit of a different issue, but people have talked about, well, you know, maybe, you know, people will do games off the studio monitors and not being at events. And you could maybe do that for a little while, and someone like you has a lot of institutional knowledge could do it because of your experience. But over time, that doesn't really work, in my opinion, and that would be a mistake if I think eventually we'll be able to go places again freely or more freely. I think if broadcasters and teams and leagues, you want your broadcasters there. If they learn more, they're more informed, it's better for the audience. And ultimately, kind of to your point about Woj and his impact on putting the NBA at the forefront for 365 days a year, it helps people enjoy the sport, which, again, might not be something that's tangible on your accounts at the end of a season, but I think over time is important. So that's something that, when you look at this situation as well, that you want to be on the ground, and that's important, you know, overall.
Yeah, and the final question, because I know I have to let you go. You only had a limited window. Your point is spot on about doing games off a monitor. In a pinch, you can do that, and this is the ultimate pinch, all right? But you're right. You have to be there, which then brings me to what was going to be my final question, ironically. How does the NBA plan on covering this TV-wise for us to watch this and radio-wise? Is this going to be done for the most part off studio, or will Mike Breen and Jackson and so forth be down there?
So the national broadcaster will be on site, except for Marv Albert, who's 79, and the NBA and Turner, along with Marv, decided that it wasn't in their best interest for him to go, because we know that there is an age component to people getting very ill with COVID. So everyone involved decided not to take that chance. But the national broadcasters will be on site. The local broadcasters will be doing it from their studios or home, depending on the regional sports network. So they will not be on site. They're trying to limit how many people are there, but they do want that big-time feel. And they also are going to have, I think, some interesting camera angles, and you may be able to hear the players. And the issue with that is then you hear swearing and all that kind of stuff that happens. So then you run into that issue. I mean, I will say this, having watched soccer and that's mainly the sport that, you know, where they added crowd noise so far. You know, golf is not something you'd add crowd noise to. But I do think, like, if you watch soccer, it's much better with the added crowd noise than without. I mean, I know that some of the purists maybe out there or on my feed on Twitter said, oh, they don't like the other day. MLS, Fox did have the crowd noise. ESPN did not. It just does not. It just, again, I love the sport, so for me, it's, I like watching it. But still, it feels bigger with the sound underneath it. Even though it's not real, the sound underneath it helps. I also think something that you could see with the NFL and possibly baseball is virtual fans in the seat. And my initial instinct would be, no, that sounds terrible. But when I'm told, it looks realistic, and they can really make it look like the real thing. And I get it, that's fake, but I, it might make the event and the viewing for the fans more enjoyable. So I think that's something to watch out for in terms of where things are going.
Interesting. The Oakland A's, you can buy a cardboard cutout with the seat, and if a foul ball hits your cutout, they'll send you the ball autographed by the team. So
yeah, that's a good, the other one here we have in New York is you know, Yankee Stadium. Obviously, they spent, I don't know, $1 or $2 billion to build it, and they made the seats so expensive behind home plate, and they have like a restaurant underneath, and so the seats behind home plate are many times are not open. Yeah. So I was joking with somebody today, if they do have the virtual fans on the Yankee Stadium, they're going to have to leave those legend seats behind the home plate. They're going to have to leave those open to make it feel more realistic.
Exactly. I did a pinstripe bowl in there once in Yankee Stadium. Okay, nice. Yeah, so
Penn State. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, my father-in-law was at the game because he's a Penn State alum, proud Penn State alum. So yeah, that was a good, that was a great game, by the way. That was one of the great ones. Then they went on a last-second field goal.
Actually, believe it or not, overtime on an extra point because BC missed its extra point.
Okay, yep. Extra point. So yeah, it was a very exciting game. Yeah. I remember that pinstripe. One of the great pinstripe bowls of all time.
Well, you don't have to go far on that list.
Yeah, exactly. That was a joke. That was a joke. I've been like six or something, maybe seven. But Andrew, that's probably number one, though. That was a great. I got him the ticket, so that was a. I was happy that he was able to go. He really enjoyed his time there because that was a a fun one.
I'm glad. I'm thrilled to hear that. Hey, Andrew, it's always great having you on, even if it's a limited window. It's always tremendous.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good one.